In 1959, a federal judge orders the integration of Atlanta's public schools, but he delayed implementation of that order for about a year, giving the state time to come up with a way to achieve it.
Yeah, let me even back up a little bit before then. In the wake of the Brown versus Board Supreme Court decision in 1955, in Georgia, as in other states, there was a barrage of what we call massive resistance to this legislation, designed to thwart desegregation by any means necessary, including even closing down the public schools. So there was a law that said if one school desegregated in a district, that whole district schools would be closed down. And actually, if you think about it, the implication was that, as Marv Griffin pointed out, governor of Georgia, if Grady High School in Atlanta desegregated, he could close down all the schools, not only in Atlanta, but possibly even in the entire state. For many people, that was a preferable alternative to desegregation. The school issue just dominated everything. In 1958, the more moderate of the two gubernatorial candidates, Ernest Vandiver, made a famous phrase, "No, not one. No, not one black child will ever be next to a white child while I'm your governor of Georgia." This is the tone of the day. And I think it's fair to say that by the late 1958, most white Georgians certainly never felt that desegregation would take place in Georgia, no matter what the courts had said. But there were things in motion that were going to undermine this. In particular, there were events in other states, the events that happened in Little Rock. There were new court decisions sort of bolstering the Brown v. Board decision. There was a lawsuit in Atlanta in particular. It was called Calhoun versus Latimer that was formed by black parents and the NAACP to desegregate the Atlanta public schools. And that case went up through the courts. And then in 1959, Judge Frank Hooper, federal judge, said that the Atlanta schools needed to develop a plan with the idea that they would desegregate in 1960.
And the Georgia General Assembly does that. They create a special committee to achieve that end.
Yes.
To a certain extent, maybe to a lesser extent.
The Georgia General Assembly created what was called the Sibley Commission to conduct hearings on the schools in each of Georgia's 10 congressional districts. The commission was the brainchild of Vandiver's, Governor Vandiver's chief of staff, Griffin Bell, who realized that with the weight of federal court opinion, you couldn't totally resist desegregation. You had to give a little bit. The Sibley Commission, in other words, was a way for politicians to back off from their rhetoric of no, not one, of massive resistance. And they conducted hearings in each of the 10 congressional districts. The pivotal one was on this day at Grady High School in the 5th congressional district. It was held in the old gym at Grady. It was a wild scene there at the entrance of the school. Handbills were passed out by a member of the U.S. Clans of America with an interracial couple dancing. Do you want this to happen in Georgia? There were crowds of people. There were people from a group called Georgians Unwilling to Surrender, represented by Lester Maddox, the Metropolitan Association for Segregated Education, but also a group called HOPE, Help Our Public Education, which was a group of white women that had formed in late 1958 in favor of keeping schools open rather than closing them down. And HOPE was very, very effective and also testified at the Sibley hearings.
So the challenge of the Sibley Commission, I guess, in their mind is to, we're going to have to swallow the pill of desegregation, but let's limit it as much as we possibly can.
Right. There's a book written on the subject called Restructured Resistance, and I guess that kind of frames it. You know, we're going to have to give a little, but just give a little. There were 114 witnesses that testified in Atlanta. It was a madhouse. There were so many people there that they had to have a second hearing the following week. There were state troopers, there were city police, GBI, all present on the Grady campus. School was closed for the hearing. There was hooting and whistling and cheering. Everyone from Lester Maddox to the Reverend William Holmes Borders testified here in Atlanta, John Wesley Dobbs. Most of the people in Atlanta favored what was called a local option, that local school districts could decide for themselves what to do about the school situation. And in May 1960, the Sibley Commission issued its report calling for local option. In other words, taking a step away from the policy of massive resistance.
So it's like states' rights taken one step further. It's local rights, town rights. In other words, the state of Georgia is essentially saying, we're going to let the local community handle it. We're not going to pass a state law one way or the other.
Well, after the Sibley Commission issued its report, Judge Hooper gave the state of Georgia an extra year to clean up its legislation. The dam broke not in the city of Atlanta schools, which desegregated in the fall of 1961, but at the University of Georgia in January of 1961, where another federal court judge ordered the desegregation of UGA. And subsequently, right after that, the state took off its segregation statutes from the books, and then the city of Atlanta schools were desegregated later that fall of 1961. Very token, 9 students in the upper grades alone, but at least honoring the letter, if not the spirit, of the Brown decision.
Right, and I think that's critical when you look at, you know, the Atlanta Way. It was just a very minor, just integration by definition only.
That's right. It had an enormous positive effect, and they spun it very positively. What happened at Grady was important. It was actually sort of the lever that kind of moved the politicians away from the stance of massive resistance, enabled this possibility of local option. As it played out in Atlanta, it was very token itself.
Civic leaders achieved their ultimate goal, which was there was no federal military intervention in the integration of the Atlanta school system.
That's right. And I would like to say, as a coda, the gym where we're talking about, where the hearings took part in Grady, were later profiled in the movie Remember the Titans with Denzel Washington. It's where Denzel Washington meets the team as the new football coach. It was filmed at Grady High School, that part. And so if you've seen that movie, if you drive by Grady High School and go by the old gym, remember what happened there in 1960 when the Sibley Commission hearings were held at Grady.
Cliff Keown, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.